WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Call. This show is here to expose the enemy for what he has done in our churches and in our nation. Over the past 20 years, the devil has crept in, but this show will expose the devil and what he's doing in our churches and in our nation. Be alert, bride. Be sober. He is coming back after a bride without spot or wrinkle. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is with the principalities and the powers of the air. And we are taking our position in the army of the living God. Rise up, bride. This is your hour. Charge! Okay, Bride, let's continue on. We're talking about the National Council of Churches, their website. Remember, we're looking at ecumenical organizations in the United States. Okay, let's check this place out. A Church Repents, this is November 16th of 2017. As the National Council of Churches prepares to launch its new Truth and Racial Justice Initiative, we'll need to check that out, Bride. Let's see here. They should have it right here. Common witness. Remember, that's a term. We need to check out this social creed. Wow, we're going to be on this website for a minute. religion, relations and collaboration, advocacy for justice and peace, the Bible and Christian Life Committee on Uniform Series, local and regional. Wow, this one's going to be. Yeah, we're going to be looking at this one in a minute. Okay. Well, first, let's put this over here. Let's check this out. Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. Kellogg Foundation. It's a comprehensive national and community-based process to plan for and bring about transformational and sustainable change to address the historic and contemporary effects of racism. Okay, so there's that one. Racial Equality, the Kellogg. Truth, Racial Healing, Association of American. It's partnering with the Kellogg Foundation. Help communities embrace racial healing. Social Justice, look right there. Let's see who this is. AACU. College. Oh my goodness. Look how the ecumenical movement is now into the education sector. They're also in media. Okay, the TRHT Enterprise prioritizes inclusive, community-based healing activities and policy designs to seek change collective community narratives and broaden the understanding that Americans have of their diverse experiences. All right. So, they're getting into the education sector, huh? A voice and a force for liberal education in the 21st century. Isn't that funny, Brad? That the ecumenical movement has partnered with progressives and liberals, which is anti-white, they call us fundamentalists, they call us racist, spiritual racist, you know, type of deal. Alright, well, let's keep going here. Truth, Racial Healing, Transformative Initiative. Alright, let's see here. Look how those terms brought up all these different ways those terms are being used. Why? Because that's a narrative. The narrative that they are putting out here. Okay, they could go on forever. Okay, well, let's go back. Truth and Racial Initiative. Okay, so it's in the church. It's in the education sector. Oh, new initiative on racism. All right, let's check this out. Excuse me. The National Council of Churches is pleased to announce that Reverend Dr. Sharon Watkins, former general minister and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, will be leading a major new emphasis of the council. Reverend Watkins will be directing a nationwide accounting of how churches and their leaders have been complicit in and have perpetuated racism in America. The National Council of Churches believes that a complete, honest, and exacting truth about racial prejudice and hate has not yet been told. This ambitious project, co-chaired by Jacqueline DuPont Walker, African Methodist Episcopal Church, and Reverend John Dorheir, United Church of Christ, will unfold over a period of years and will involve the 38 member communions of the council, a community of mainline Protestant, historically African-American churches, Orthodox, and peace churches. The complicity of the white churches and leaders must be accounted for and acknowledged if we are to begin the process of moving towards healing in this country, says Watkins. Predominantly, white congregations and denominations have been complicit in perpetuating the sin of racism in ways we have not yet fully recognized, and no healing, justice, no reconciliation can be achieved without a complete telling of the truth. What the world? Let me just say right here, Bride, we do not have white churches on names on our churches. We do not have white church like they do African American. They will have on there their color on their churches. And from our standpoint, they're the ones that are separating based upon color. We're not. I have not seen one church that said white only that had the name of white or Caucasian on it. And this is nothing against African Americans. I'm just saying this narrative, this progressive, is anti-white, which what they're trying to do, okay, let me just tell y'all right now, they are trying to say that white people are the ones that have funded this, that have founded this fundamental Christianity. They're trying to say that the Bible has been written by racists. And, you know, which it talks about slaves and stuff. So I guess they're trying to debunk a lot of scripture. Now, I'm not saying this group is the ecumenical group, but there are other groups in the country that are. They're trying to debunk the Word of God. So this whole narrative of anti-white that you see on the Democrats, that you see on the progressives, that you see on liberal people, is because they're trying to do away with Christianity the way that we know it today, which is based upon the literal Word of God. It doesn't just support white people, the Bible. It doesn't. It's for all people. But what they're trying to do is... it's called white guilt. When I was in college in 2008, I noticed it then in the college textbooks. White guilt and anti-Christian. That's what this is. It is gearing up for persecution. I'm telling you. And what I have showed you through this research is all of the different language where they are going after fundamentalist, which is us, people that believe the Word of God is the truth. Okay, but anyways, let's keep going. For the past 2 years, Watkins has served the National Council of Churches as the chair of the governing board. She served as the general manager and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, which, by the way, we believe is a cult, from 2005 to 2017. She gave the sermon at President Obama's National Prayer Service. Wow. In 2009, and served a term on the White House Advisory Council for the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. She has a lifelong commitment to racial justice. Going back to justice again, I am going to copy this. I'm going to save this, Bride, because I am going to end up using this in the future. This quote that she has right here. Okay, alright, so this is clearly one of the most ambitious and most important projects of the National Council of Churches in its history, said General Secretary and President Jim Winkler. This effort is a clarion call, what do you know, to the conscience, New Age term, of the churches and the soul of America. We have the utmost confidence that Sharon's the right person of this work in the air of the council. Wow. Okay. Alright, so let's check this out here. Let's see who's the leadership. Okay, this Winkler person is the secretary and president. Jim Winkler. That lady, Sharon Watkins. Minister and president. Methodist, Community Church of Christ, United Church of Christ, American Baptist, United Methodist, African Methodist, Coptic Orthodox Church. And then it has all the community representatives. all the different types of churches, a lot of Catholic. Okay. A lot of Baptist, Orthodox, Polish, Patriarchal. Religious Society of Friends. Never heard of that one. Okay, so let's go back up here to the top. Let's look at member communions. Let's see, what is that? These 38 member communions come together in covenant community as the National Council of Churches to offer common witness, that's the term of ecumenical, to Jesus Christ and to share in a ministry of reconciliation to the world in His name. Together, they include more than 45 million people in over 100,000 congregations in the United States. Well, let's read these off here. African Methodist Episcopal Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, Alliance of Baptists, American Baptist Churches in the USA, Armenian Church of America, Eastern and Western Diocese, Assyrian Church of the East, Christian Church Disciples of Christ in the United States and Canada, Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, Church of the Brethren, Community of Christ, Coptic Orthodox Archdiocese of North America, Ecumenical Catholic Communion, the Episcopal Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, Hungarian Reformed Church in America, International Council of Community Churches, Korean Presbyterian Church Abroad, Malankara Orthodox Syrian Church. Oh, the list goes on. It's a bunch of them. Religious Society of Friends, United Church of Christ. There's a bunch of them. Okay, so let's scroll on down here. Staff, partners, priorities, common witness. Let's see what they say about that. For over a century, the ecumenical movement in the United States has been a major voice of Christian conscience to the nation. All right, there's that New Age term again. Let me copy this and put this over here. Here is a collection of some of the most important statements made by the National Council of Churches and its officers. These include policy statements, resolutions, and statements delivered by the General Secretaries. NCC and Creation Justice Ministries applaud developments at Standing Rock, a call to the President-elect. Statement by General Secretaries Olav Tvedt and Jim Wickler given at NCC consultation in the Holy Land. NCC welcomes new rules on solitary confinement, life sentences for juveniles. Oh, so they're involved in the government. NCC urges hospitality and care towards refugees. So they're into the law on immigration. Keep our elections free from hateful rhetoric. What? You hate Trump too? All these Trump haters. All right, let's see. Joint statement on normalizing U.S.-Cuba relations. So they're very involved politically. So they have come. See, that is the ecumenical movement is in all spheres of society. Wow, this thing has been going since. Wow, 1908. Can you believe this, Bride? The Social Creed of the Churches. Let's see. Adopted by the Federal Council of Churches on December 4th, 1908. We deem it the duty of all Christian people to concern themselves directly with certain practical industrial problems. To us, it seems that the churches must stand for equal rights and complete justice for all men in all stations of life. For the right of all men to the opportunity of self-maintenance, a right ever to be wisely and strongly safeguarded against encroachments of every kind. For the right of workers to some protection against the hardships often resulting from the swift crisis of industrial change. For the principle of conciliation and arbitration in industrial dissensions, for the protection of the worker from dangerous machinery, occupational disease, injuries, and mortality, for the abolition of child labor, for such regulation of the conditions of toil for women. So it's basically social justice. It's all social justice. Okay. All right, let's see here. Shared ministry, Bible and Christian life, Christian unit, interfaith relations, joint action and advocacy, leadership and faith formation. Let's look at the interfaith relations. Getting to know neighbors of other faiths, resource brochure. So they're working with all the different types of faith. Well, that's what this ecumenical movement's doing. Common witness again. Index of common witness. It's got all the different dates. 1952. Immigration. The plight of the world's uprooted peoples creates for the United States, as for other liberty-loving nations, a moral as well as an economic and political problem of vast proportions. Among these peoples are those displaced by war and its aftermath, the refugees made homeless by the reason of Nazi, fascist, and communist tyranny, and more recently by military hostiles in Korea, the Middle East. Remember, this is written in 1952. The National Council of Churches sees in this situation an issue that can be resolved only as nations collectively and separately adopt policies dictated by considerations not only of justice and mercy, but also of sound mutual assistance. The National Council of Churches has taken note of the fact that legislation is pending in Congress looking toward the revision of our immigration and naturalization laws. We believe it is of the utmost importance that legislation be enacted that will conform with our democratic tradition and with our heritage as a defender of human rights. The adoption by Congress of enlightened immigration and naturalization laws would add immeasurably to the moral stature of the United States and would hearten those nations with whom we are associated in a common effort to establish the conditions of a just and durable peace. Wow, okay, so they're really involved in common witness, which means one voice, basically. Here's their news releases. Look at this. NCC urges hospitality care towards refugees. Keep our campaigns free of hateful rhetoric. Recent Middle East violence and acts of terrorism. All right. NCC grieves with Muslim community in U.S. worldwide. The Syrian refugee crisis in the churches. Black Methodist Coalition, Liberty and Justice for All. Protestant and Orthodox communities applaud Pope's encyclical on the environment. Interfaith letter to President Obama on the Rohingya Muslims of Myanmar. Wow! This Christian group is helping Muslims. Can you believe this, Bride? Can you believe this? Is this not shocking what is happening out here? These people have lost their everlasting mind, these organizations. All right, so let's go back over here. Now, I want to point out something, Brad, that I noticed about this website from the get-go. Look at this logo. Does that not look a lot like the ecumenical logo? It does. Okay, now let's go down to a 21st century social creed. We churches of the United States have a message of hope for a fearful time. Just as the churches responded to the harshness of the early 20th century industrialization with a prophetic social creed, remember we read that, in 1908, so in our era, of globalization, we offer a vision of a society that shares more and consumes less, seeks compassion over suspicion, and equality over domination. Wow, so we're a dominant, huh? And find security in joined hands rather than massed arms. Inspired by Isaiah's vision of a peaceable kingdom, we honor the dignity of every person and the intrinsic value of every creature, and pray and work for the day when none labor in vain or bear children for calamity. We do so as disciples of the one who came that all may have life and have it abundantly, John 10:10, and stand in solidarity with Christians and with all who strive for justice around the globe. All right, let's see here. They're working for full civil, political, and economic rights for women and men of all races. Well, it doesn't sound like it, does it, Brad? Abolition of forced labor, human trafficking, and the exploitation of children. Employment for all at a family-sustaining living wage with equal pay for comparable work. Now, can you believe this, Brian? That this Christian group is working on all that. Okay. Christian unity, interreligious relations and collaboration. Let's see. That's the one that we just looked at. Okay. Events in the United States and across the world have made us more aware of the significance of the world's religions and their influence on politics, economics, and cultures. At home and abroad, the work of building Christian unity and our efforts for peace and human development are increasingly intertwined with theological questions regarding our relationship with those in other religious traditions. The interreligious relations and collaboration work of the Council exercises special responsibility with the life, of the Council for programs, resources, and communication integral to the building and maintenance of interfaith relationships and the theological reflection of these relationships. The NCC works with and on behalf of the churches to strengthen relationships between Christians and people of other faiths through study, dialogue, the development of cooperative programs, and the sharing of resources and information. Remember, I told you they're doing that about resources. It provides an ecumenical forum of sharing common counsel and theological reflection regarding interfaith relations and coordinates its work with other entities of the council as appropriate. So let me save that. That's going to be key later. And let me save this website. Copy and paste. Okay. They've got a resource brochure on how to talk to other religions. Okay, so let's see here. Joint action and advocacy for justice and peace. Let's click on this. At the core of the Christian faith is a commitment to work on behalf of and with those marginalized by our society, the hungry, sick, poor, prisoners, strangers, and powerless people. Matthew 25:44. Jesus' life provides the model by which we are to work for justice and peace in our world. Like the Old Testament prophets, we raise our voices with the voiceless and help victims defend themselves from injustice. The National Council of Churches has been a prophetic voice, oh my goodness, for justice and peace for its entire existence. The NCC played a vital role in the civil rights struggles in the 60s, supported conscientious objectors during the Vietnam War, was a voice for peace throughout the Cold War, and spoke up for religious liberty for all after 9/11, standing with our Muslim brothers and sisters. Wow. Isn't this something, Bride? This is just really something. They stand for ending poverty, eco-justice, the economy, or the earth, like global warming and whatnot.
Okay, and then ending poverty, racial justice, women's ministries. This is all basically the ecumenical movement, how they function. It's just amazing to me how they use scriptures, and it's totally for evil. Local and regional ecumenism. Across the United States, let me scroll up so you can see this. Across the United States, Christians of all kinds come together as one body of Christ in councils of churches as part of interfaith councils. In cooperation, cooperative social ministries, in informal neighborhood initiatives, in advocacy organizations as clergy organizations, and in many other communities. The National Council of Churches relates to these groups in a variety of mutually supportive ways. Locally, regionally, and nationally, we all seek to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ as we pray together as one body of Christ. Isn't that something? Act together to serve the poor and disadvantaged. Dialogue together about Christian unity and interfaith relations. And advocate together for more social, just social policies. Click here to view a directory of local and regional ecumenical and interfaith communities. Let's check it out. Alright, let's see. This online directory helps make visible the ways that Christians of all kinds pray, live, and act together in towns, cities across the nation. Let's read these off. Ecumenical Ministries, Incorporated. Greater Birmingham Ministries, that's down here by me. Interfaith Mission Service, Huntsville. Interfaith Council of Anchorage. Wow, there's a bunch. Arizona Ecumenical Council, Interfaith Arkansas, California Council of Churches. Brighton, too, I started researching this. I never knew about any of this. I had no idea this thing is as big as it is. Look at the ground they have already taken, Brian. Council of Churches in Santa Clara County, Ecumenical Council of Pasadena Area Churches. San Diego County, Contra Costa County, Metro Ministry in Fresno, Los Angeles, Marin Interfaith Council, San Francisco Interfaith, South Coast Interfaith, Southern California Ecumenical Council, VIC Valley Interfaith Coalition, Colorado Council of Churches, Interfaith Council of Boulder, excuse me. Christian Conference of Connecticut, Hands on Hartford, Conference of Churches, Christian Community Action, New Haven. Wow. Maryland, D.C., Council of Churches of Greater Washington, Interfaith Conference of Metropolitan D.C. Florida, Georgia, the Interfaith Alliance, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Association of Community Ministries. I just want to look in there real quick, Brad. One moment. Association of Community Ministries. Welcome to Louisville. It's proud to be a national model for its faith-based network of community ministries. There are 15 community ministries in the Louisville area that serve residents from every zip code. Alright, let's see here. Mystery models. Watch this video from ABC News World News Tonight with Diane Sawyer. Going home, hope in Louisville. It's a large, it requires you have a player. This is an old website. Alright, let's see about us. While the community ministry movement began in Louisville, Kentucky in the 60s, it was not until 86 that the Fund for Community Ministries was established at the urging of several local funders. Rather than incorporate as a separate entity, the fund functioned as a part of the Kentuckian interfaith community. See, there you go. The fund became the Association for Community Ministries in the early 1990s. The ACM provided a coordinated, efficient way for its members to collaborate as they sought funding from corporations, foundations, and government sources. The first campaign started in 87 with a challenge grant from Marion Barry Bingham Senior Fund. Other long-term supporters have been James Graham Brown Foundation and the Norton Foundation. From 86 to 99, the membership grew from 6 ministries to 15, and in 99, discussions were held about incorporating ACM as a separate nonprofit, and it goes through. 15 community service are members. Let's see who their members are. Oh, okay, their areas. Central Louisville Community Ministries. Fern Creek United Ministries. Ministries United South Central Louisville. South Louisville Community Ministries. Southwest Community. All right. Okay, I just wanted to kind of check that out for a minute. Let's go back. Ohio. That's where I went to Bible college. North Carolina. Now we're back on the National Council of Churches. New York State, New Mexico, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Religious Alliance in Nevada, Nebraska, Montana, Missouri, Mississippi, Minnesota, Michigan, Massachusetts, Maryland, Maine, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, looks like, well, all the states, I guess. Tennessee, that is my home place. Tennessee Association of Churches, Metropolitan Interfaith Association. South Dakota, South Carolina, Texas. Let's see if I see anything here. Grace, Grapevine, Relief, and Community Exchange. Interfaith Action of Central Texas. Interfaith Ministries for Greater Houston. Let's check out this website. Interfaith Ministries. For more than 60 years, Interfaith Ministries for Greater Houston has united people of all faiths to provide services for citizens of the Greater Houston area thanks to your support and leadership. Okay, so we see the candles is usually Catholic. Fosters understanding, respect, and engagement among people of all faiths. Brings peace of mind to seniors, their families, and others with special needs. Welcomes and helps our new neighbors become self-sufficient within 6 months. So, refugees. That's the president. Wow, look at their big building. That is huge. Wow, Bride, I want to show you this. Look at this interfaith tree. The cross, Muslim, Jew, Hindu. Isn't that sad? Witchcraft, wow. Donate online, provide a financial gift, volunteer, and wish list. Let me save this picture. I may need that later. I will put it over here in my book. Isn't that something? All right, let me save this website. Put it over here. I'll need this for later. Okay, so let's keep going. Remember I told you to check out. Wow, look who is the funder of this. United Way. That doesn't shock us, does it? All right, United Way is behind this. That tree just really shocks me. Okay. Meals on Wheels America. Alright. Interfaith Relations. Overview, programs and events, services and requests, interfaith resources, the Interfaith Circle. Interfaith Circle members. Let's check this out. The Aga Khan Council. The Muslim Community, Erasmus, Presbyterian, Canvas Houston Church, Chapel United Methodist, Christ is the Answer International Church, Christ Church Cathedral, wow, Christ the King Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Church at 1548 Heights, the Community of Faith Church, Community of the Servant Savior Presbyterian, Covenant Baptist, Covenant Lutheran, First Christian Church, Humanist of Houston, what? Houston Congregation for Reform, Judaism, Buddhist Temple, First Congregational Church of Houston, Islamic Institute, Islamic Society of Greater Houston, United Methodist, the JVP Prescott Meditation Center, Islamic Center, Muslim American Society. Wow, look at all these, Bride. Baptist Church, United Church. Okay, so let's go to programs and events. Let's see what kind of events they do. Well, they don't have anything on there right now. Okay. Let's see. Let's check out their blog. Volunteer December, Kim Eastman. Choose to share the love with vulnerable seniors. Volunteer of the month. I'm telling y'all, Bride, this is huge what these groups are doing. Board of Directors. Let's see who this is. There's that tree. Let me save that tree. Save image. Okay. And I'm going to... Okay. Alright, so we're done with this website. So let's move on here. We're back over here. Okay, so then it shows all these different states. The Christian Unity. We're back on the National Council of Churches website. So we realize that the local and regional is just absolutely massive and huge. Okay, so let's get off this website and go to the next one. The Pontifical Council. Hold on here. Let me minimize this website so I can see all of it. Whenever you need to do that, just hit the control button and the dash button, or the negative, control and negative, and it'll make it smaller, and then control positive will make it bigger. It'll zoom in, and the other will zoom out. Okay. General Documents, Guidelines for Ecumenical Commitment, Spiritual Ecumenism at the International Level, Dialogue with the Orthodox Churches of Byzantine Tradition, Dialogue with the Oriental Orthodox Churches, Assyrian Church, Churches and Ecclesial Communities of the West, Dialogue with International Old Catholic Bishops, Anglican Communion, Lutheran World Foundation, World Methodist, World Alliance of Reformed Churches, Baptist, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Dialogue with Pentecostals, Dialogue with Evangelicals, Multilateral Dialogues, World Council of Churches, Cardinal Updates, Commission of the Holy See for Religious, and Mennonite. Okay, let's try Pentecostals. Dialogue with Pentecostals. So this is from the Vatican, y'all. This is official from the Vatican. Okay, do not quench the spirit. Charisms of the... In the Life and Mission of the Church, Report of the Sixth Phase of the International Catholic Pentecostal Dialogue. From 2011-2015. On Becoming a Christian, Insights from Scripture and the Patristic Writings with Some Contemporary Reflections, 1998-2006. Report of the Fifth Phase of the International Dialogue between Some Classical Pentecostal Churches and Leaders of the Catholic Church. Evangelization, Proselytism, and Common Witness. Let's click on this one. This one's from 90-97. Well, that's pretty old. Okay, so the newest one then is the one, Do Not Quench the Spirit. Let's check on that one. I'm going to do Control Plus and make this a little bigger so you can see it. Let's see what their reports look like. The report published here is the work of the Catholic Pentecostal International Dialogue between the Catholic Church and some classical Pentecostal churches and leaders. It is a study document produced by the dialogue members. The authorities who appointed the participants have allowed the report to be published so it may be widely discussed. It is not an authoritative declaration of either the Catholic Church or any of the Pentecostal churches involved in the dialogue, who will both evaluate the document. Okay. This thing is huge. All right, let's see here. They talked about what Pentecostals and Catholics hold in common. The charismatic nature of the entire church. Charisms are gifts of the Holy Spirit given to all believers. For Catholics, the foundation for receiving spiritual gifts is baptism and confirmation. Although the Spirit often bestows gifts at later months, especially in view of a new calling to service or mission. For many Pentecostals, Spirit baptism is the essential gateway experience for the receiving of certain gifts. Catholics and Pentecostals agree, however, that gifts are not confined to the sacraments or to Spirit baptism. So they blurred it there. Although gifts are available to all believers, they are operative when Christians rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel and to serve one another. Gifts manifest the creativity of the Spirit and are given generously and often beyond all expectations. Both the more extraordinary gifts, such as healings, miracles, prophecy, and tongues, and those that seem more ordinary, such as service, teaching, exhortation, contribution, administration, and acts of mercy, are vital for the life and mission of the church. With the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the community of faith, including both clergy and laity, is called to engage in a process of discernment to determine whether certain words or deeds are genuine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Scripture teaches that the ultimate standards for discernment of gifts are truth and love, the goal of our walking. God in Christ began in baptism and the conversion. So, basically, they just watered it all down, is what it sounds like to me. Okay, so let's go back. But they do have these documents on the website for people to check out, which is pretty neat because then we can see how they've been talking. Basically, they just come to an agreement and just said, okay. And they watered it all down. Okay, so let's get out of this one. That's the Vatican website. The next website we're going to review is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Okay, this is the one we was looking at. All right. Evangelical. Let's click on that. Catholic Evangelical Relations. Let me control plus so you can see this a little bigger. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has a formal dialogue with the evangelical community that works on a national level to develop stronger ties between our communities. Are active and vocal about their faith, whether it's over abortion, marriage, family, or whatever. They work together to sign this. Oh, here we go. Look here. In 1994, a landmark statement was produced called Evangelicals and Catholics Toward a Common Mission. All right. So, immigration reform, poverty summit. So, basically, working together. In 1942, the National Association of Evangelicals was formed and today represent more than 45,000 local churches from almost 40 different denominations. All right, let's check them out. National Association. of evangelicals. Influence for good. We've already been to this one, haven't we, Brian? Yes, we have been to this one. So we've already investigated this. This has Church of God and all them in it. Okay. So, let's get out of that website and go to the next one. National Workshop on Christian Unity. Boy, I don't like their logo. That is creepy. Welcome to the National Workshop on Christian Unity. This has advanced unity and reconciliation among various Christian communities for more than 50 years. The workshop continues to be the only gathering of its kind at a national level in the world. The annual event brings together ecumenical representatives, ecumenists, and interest members from all churches who share one faith, one baptism in Jesus Christ. Isn't that funny how they do that? And partnering with all these different religions. 2018 workshop information and registration. Let's click on that. All right, let's see. Take place in Washington, D.C., April 16th through the 19th. All right, we will continue to lift up relationship building among Christian ecumenical partners, and we will intentionally continue our journey together following the commemorations of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which happened, by the way, in 2017. A common journey to heal the wounds of discord and separation so the world may believe. All right. So they're gearing up for their conference in a couple of months. Okay, who we are. Group of Roman Catholics in the context of Vatican II. Met to equip local leadership for the task of ecumenical ministry. In 1969, they invited leaders of other Christian communities to join in. Today, the National Ecumenical Officers of the Churches continue their oversight of the workshop. Oh, okay, so they got all these different... They have workshops. Alright. Christian unity may be closer than you think. Let's see what they're saying here. 2016 was in Louisville, Kentucky. For over 50 years, the National Workshop on Christian Unity has been gathering each year at a different city throughout the United States to bring together all those involved in the work of Christian unity. Isn't this amazing, Brian, that I have not heard one thing about this? This is just so amazing to me how big this thing is. And how the majority of the church laity members, which is us, how we do not know this is even going on. And it is just huge. It's so massive. Welcoming delegates of church judicaries and ecumenists from all churches who share one faith, one baptism in Jesus Christ. We discover that there is so much more than we share the focus on differences, which has separated us for too long. Okay, this is given to equip those given the responsibility of seeking unity with ongoing formation with excellent plenaries and seminars, opportunities throughout the week to join together in prayer and provide a context for fellowship form. Okay, so let's get off of this one. All right, here's a new one. Graymore Ecumenical and Interreligious Institute. A ministry of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Okay, we read about this on another one, GEII, Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. The Church Unity Octave, a forerunner of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, was developed by Servant of God, Father Paul. It's a Catholic thing. Now this, you'll see this Franciscan Friars working with IHOP on their Catholic thing that they do with the One Thing event. Alright, let's see here. A Let me copy this website. Put it in my notes over here. Okay, so there's that. Ecumenical Trends, About the Trends. Subscribe, Ecumenical Trends Online. Let's see what this is. Oh, it's a magazine. View a sample. Let's view a sample. Models of Ecumen, recent Anglican-Lutheran dialogues and their successful attainment of full communion in the U.S., Canada, and Northern Europe. So it's a newsletter that goes out to explain what's going on in the Ecumen. A Way Forward, the impasse regarding apostolic succession between Catholics and Protestants and the possibility of a solution in the concepts broad and narrow. Address of His Holiness Pope Francis to a delegation of the Lutheran World Foundation in December of 2017. I mean, if I was going to do this all the time, I would probably subscribe to that. Working for the healing, reconciliation, and the at-one-ment of all. Franciscan Friars. Isn't that something? Remember I told you we can't go by signs, miracles, and wonders because they're doing that in other religions. About Ecumenical Trends is a monthly journal that publishes articles on the ecumenical and interreligious movements. I am going to have to subscribe. Alright, how do we subscribe here? The award-winning Trends. The Prophetic Cry for Justice. A Pentecostal Response to the Racism of Mass Incarceration. Okay, let's see. How do we subscribe to this? Subscribe. Click here to subscribe online. Oh man, you gotta pay for it. Oh. Okay, well that's probably how they fund it. Okay, so let's go over here. Learn more, helpful hints, upcoming events. Lecture in San Francisco. 2018 Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Alright, let's see. January 8th. Ooh, that's coming up. January 18th through the 25th. The theme for the 2018 Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, Your Right Hand, O Lord, Glorious in Power, is taken from the book of Exodus 15:6. The resource for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity have been prepared by the Churches of the Caribbean by an ecumenical team of women and men under the leadership of His Grace Kenneth Richards, Catholic Archbishop, and blah, blah, blah. Throughout the biblical narrative of salvation, an unmistakable motive is the unrelenting determination of the Lord to form a people whom He could call His own. The formation of such a people united in a sacred covenant with God is integral to the Lord's plan of salvation and the glorification of His name. The prophets repeatedly reminded Israel that their covenant demanded their relationships among its various social groups should be characterized by justice, compassion, and mercy. Reconciliation often demands repentance, reparation, and healing of memories. All right, so our staff week of prayer. Okay, so we understand that, so let's get out of here and that one and go to the next one. Interfaith Conference of Metropolitan Washington. Okay, let me copy that and save that. Save the date. Stand up, speak out, and unite. 2018 DC Interfaith Leadership Summit. February 19th, 2018, where? In Maryland, which is right next to DC. Open to all between 18 and 39. Keeping us old people out. See, he wants the young people. The Interfaith Conference in Metropolitan Washington. Open link in new tab. Multi-faith service commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. The 7th. January the 7th. Okay, we just had that. Boy, there is so much, Bride. So much. Okay, let's check this out just a minute. Because my time is running out. Okay, programs. See, look at their symbol. Let me save that. Save image. Okay, uniting our community since 1978. Advancing justice, what do you know? In our collaboration with Interfaith Power and Light, let's check that out. We can get rid of that one. Interfaith Power and Light, our religious response to climate change. Remember the Pope working on climate change. Our mission is to help hundreds of congregations of all faiths across Maryland, D.C., and Northern Virginia to save energy, go green, respond to climate change. Part of a network of interfaith power and light groups across the country. Together we build a national religious response to the climate crisis. Host a free home energy workshop in your congregation. Your community will have a chance to hear the story of how our electricity is made, to explore practical steps for saving energy in your home, civil works, retrofit, Baltimore, and all this. Okay. About us, we work with hundreds of congregations. Learn. We help congregations educate by incorporating environmental concerns into worship, teaching, and preaching. Wow! They are giving preachers stuff to preach out about this thing there. Okay. Building community, organized interfaith concert. Let's see what this is. Each fall, this celebration of the sacred in song, sacred member Catholic, dance and chant features singers, musicians, and dancers, as well as luminaries from half a dozen traditions. Let's see. Let's watch this video. Interfaith Congress. Concert.
If I really want it to be harmony, it's up to me.
I'm so happy to join you tonight for this special celebration of sacred song, dance, and chant. Tonight's concert features the talents of about 125 musicians and dancers representing 5 of the 11 faith traditions that comprise the membership of the Interfaith Conference of Metropolitan Washington.
What an honor, what a pleasure to be here with you tonight, to look out on this beautiful audience and to feel the warmth of this this multi-faith congregation.
The Interfaith Conference provides us the opportunity to come together once a year to collect the various faiths that participate in the Interfaith Council here in Washington, D.C., and to celebrate our common interests.
The concert provides a way for men and women of faith to express their solidarity, their sense of common concern for the needs of our community.
It brings companionship, a great way of bringing people together, understanding what the other religion is about. And when you have understanding, you better realize it and you're better friends with others.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the
It's a prayer in the form of music. That's what is happening today. great camp meeting in the promised land.
Go to sea and sail the water.
It is a joy for me to be with you, representative of 11 historical faith communities who are tearing down the walls between us rather than building them.
Muslim.
You are indeed doing God's work. Not the work of your God, or the work of my God, but the work of our God. Our God as the members of the same universal spiritual family.
Wow. Let me stop that. What the world? Isn't that sad? All right, so let's X out over there. Okay, so we get the idea of that one. Let's move on to the next one. Yuri, United Religions Initiative. We unite to bridge differences between people of all beliefs to create community and to solve local and global challenges. How we do it. Our work focuses on 14 areas that address the world's most pressing issues. Discover our action areas. Local groups called cooperation circles. Well, that looks like witchcraft. Now look at the people bending down praying. Explore our network. Let's check this out. A URI cooperative circle is a self-organized group of at least 7 members from at least 3 religions. Spiritual expressions or indigenous traditions, including atheists and agnostics. Cooperation circles work on 2 levels, by giving people of different backgrounds a chance to work together and by tackling important community issues their members care about. All right, let's see here. One God, Southeast Asia and the Pacific, a bear community for all Pakistan. Acoustics, Southeast Asia, Africa, Asia, North America, Abbey of Hope, community building, peace building. Asia, Africa, Middle East and North Africa. This thing is global for sure. Europe, Asia, Africa, Middle East, North America. Okay, so let's see. Global Council Trustees. She's a Hindu. Excuse me. Grace Cathedral AIDS founded Lutheran. Wiccan? What the world? Wiccan elder and high priest of a coven in Berkeley, California. Isn't that something? Chief of the Yankton, Dakota, and Chickasaw First Nations and internationally recognized leader in human community development. This one is Global Interfaith Wash Alliance at UNICEF headquarters in New York. So she's Hindu. Okay. Well, we learned a lot about that one. Okay, let's go over here. We already did this one. World Congress of Faiths. What the world? World Congress of Faiths. It's open to all who share its aims and interests regardless of their faith. Our aim is to promote and share the personal values and personal value of spiritual life. You can become a member and join one of the oldest interfaith bodies in the world with a very rich history. We offer the freedom and opportunities to meet, explore, challenge, and understand different faith traditions through events, from small workshops to large conferences, partnership working, online conversation, and publications, including our unique international journal, Interreligious Insight. All right. Okay, so let's scroll up here. The World Congress of Faith. Oh, this is in London. They are based in London. All right, so let's scroll up here. What we do. World Congress of Faith members are individuals drawn from all major faith traditions in all five continents. Our activities are UK-focused, but draw on an international breadth of knowledge, and its members represent its interests around the world. All right. Membership. Interreligious Insight. They have a newsletter that goes out to all of their members. All right, events. World Congress of Faith Support. They got that coming up March the 21st. Interfaith Work and Spirituality. Future events. Is the one we just saw. Let's look at their past events. Buddhist Society. Okay, executive committee members. Let's see who these are. What faiths? All right, the president, Anglican, parish priest, Catholic, rabbi, Jewish, Dr. Race, seminar in interfaith understanding and relations. He has worked through interfaith dialogue groups. He's the author of the classic text, Theology of Religions, Christian Approaches to Other Faiths, Making Sense. He's a retired priest. This one's a Unitarian minister. International Association for Religious Freedom. All these different panels. This one is Eon Ramsey Center. I don't know what that is. Alright, this one is Islam, Muslim. This one is Hindu. So it's basically a bunch of different. Okay, so they have their journal, the links to their groups, a blog. Let's see what they say. Implications of artificial intelligence. That would be an interesting read. Because it's talking about biotechnology. The Quran in a cathedral. All I Have is a Voice. Reflections on the 80th anniversary. Okay, so it's basically a unity thing. So let's go to the next website. The World Council of Religious Leaders. Wow, looky here, Brad. Let me make this bigger. This is another one of those coexist symbols. So let me save this symbol. And this one is on which website? The World Council of Religious Leaders. Let me save that. World Council Religious Leaders logo. Okay. About the World Council. The World Council of Religious Leaders, an independent body, works to bring religious resources to support the work of the United Nations. Oh, so, wow, I guess it would, duh. The One World Religion works with the One World Government, duh. Support the work of the United Nations in our common quest for peace. It's not an official part of the United Nations, nor does it have any status with the United Nations. Well, that's weird, isn't it? The formation of the World Council of Religious Leaders was one of the stated goals of the Millennium World Peace Summit. The objective of this council is to serve as a resource to the United Nations and its agencies around the world, nation states, and other international organizations, offering the collective wisdom and resources of the faith traditions toward the resolution of critical global problems. Okay, so they focus on different religions, all the Hindu stuff there. The World Council of Religious Leaders aims to serve as a model and guide for the creation of a community of world religions. It seeks to inspire women and men of all faiths in the pursuit of peace and mutual understanding. It will undertake initiatives that will assist the United Nations and its agencies by providing the spiritual resources of the world's religious traditions in the prevention, resolution, and healing of conflicts, and in addressing global social and environmental problems. By promoting the universal human values shared by all religious traditions, and by uniting the human community for times of world prayer and meditation, the Council seeks to aid in the development of the inner qualities and external conditions needed for creation of a more peaceful, just, and sustainable world society. Let me save this link. All right, so basically they're trying to help the world's situation. Leadership. Co-chairs. Okay. Buddha. Rabbi of Israel. Rabbi. Jewish. Oh, man. Islam. Islam. The Taos. I don't know what that is. You can look at all these, Brad, and see all the different faiths together. A lot of them are Catholic on there. Annual meetings is held each year for the world's religious leaders to come together on a regular basis to address critical issues. The first council was held June 12, 2002 at the United Nations in Bangkok, Thailand. They try to say that they don't work with the United Nations, but obviously they do, huh? Okay, so let's see here. Alright, it says we can click on who attended. Let's see. This is all the difference. Okay. Commitment to global peace. Religious leaders' commitment to global peace to UN Secretary. Okay, so they're fighting for peace now. George Mason University, Center for World Religions, Diplomacy, and Conflict Resolution. Overseas seminar, okay. Let's check this place out here. About. Programs. News. Connect. Research. Photo gallery. Internships. Contribute. Okay, let's check out the About. The mission of the Center for World Religions, Diplomacy, and Conflict Resolution is to engage emerging indigenous and global conflict resolvers, partner with them in innovation and entrepreneurial growth, mobilize support for them, and create linkages between peace builders, citizen diplomats, students, business people, and policymakers. So unity to change the globe. All right, let me save this website in my notes, and then we'll go to the next one. The International Center for, this is the one we was looking at with that one. Let's see if we can, for religion and diplomacy. Okay, let's scroll down. Empowering peaceful religious communities. While not itself a religious organization, it builds the skills, capacity, and ranks of women and men peace builders of all faiths to address the root causes of identity-based conflict and violent extremism in their communities. I'm wondering if they're going to consider us an extremist. Our approach works. After two decades of direct engagement, ICRD is a preferred partner among government, civil society, and grassroots organizations for conducting trainings, developing local networks, and facilitating multi-track initiatives to resolve many of the critical crises affecting the globe today. Support us, events, publications, the different places they're working, Saudi Arabia's historic. All right, let's scroll down to the bottom. Intelligent philanthropy. United Nations Economic and Social Council. Guys, star. See, I told you, Brian, if you scroll to the bottom, you'll learn a lot about these people, who they're linked with and everything. Our approach. To bridge religious considerations with the practice of international politics in support of peace building. A world in which spiritual reconciliation advances peace and coexistence between adversaries. All right. Conflict resolution and countering violent how do we build the capacity of faith actors to resolve conflicts and mitigate violent extremism? I'd love to see what they define as extremism, wouldn't you, Bride? Let's see here. The drivers of violent extremism and other conflicts are deeply dependent upon local conditions. ICRD utilizes a participant-driven approach that allows beneficiaries to adapt the training content according to their own cultural, historical, and spiritual frames of reference. In this way, ICRD builds on the existing capacity of religious actors to serve as peace builders in their community. Like that one gentleman I showed you on that one video, he's called a peace agent. With support and mentorship from ICRD, these peace builders are mobilized in their respective communities to lead new grassroots initiatives and serve as agents of change. By empowering individuals and organizations that are committed to peace, ICRD leaves behind improved local capacity to respond to existing and unforeseen social conflicts. That is scary. Come on now. Countering violent extremism and addressing local conflict in Yemen. Look at this Muslim symbol. Local counter narratives to sectarian violence in Pakistan. Integrating conservative religious actors. Okay, so these are different areas. Pakistan. Oh, they're related programs. Okay. Tolerance. That's a word to look for in education. Social reconciliation. Resilient networks. Let's see what this is. Our approach. Promoting sustained collaborative partnerships between otherwise disparate stakeholders is key to countering extremism and breaking silence of violence. This means that members of different religions and sects must not only work together to achieve peace, they must also work with educators, local government officials, business leaders, legal and academic experts, and activists as one community. Remember, Bride, I told you about that community, the word. ICRD facilitates the development of engaged networks of peace builders by using shared values to bridge different faith traditions, civil society sectors, and marginalized and majority communities. Through these networks, peace builders collaborate to address issues of mutual concern and, in the process, build relationships that will provide additional capacity and support to face the challenges of the future. Religious prejudice in the U.S. and Pakistan. Islamophobia in the U.S. What do you know? Let's see what religious prejudice is. Is it what that Catholic said? Tony Palmer, when he said that extremists are religious are spiritual races. In 2014, ICRD convened a meeting of conservative Muslims and Christians from Pakistan and the U.S., groups that are widely thought to have fundamentally irreconcilable worldviews. They do. To form the Interfaith Leadership Network. That would be another one to look up. Let's see here. Wow, look how big this is, Brad. Okay. The purpose of this network was to provide a space for both groups to explore the factors that contribute to religious prejudice and fuel violent extremism in their respective countries. As a result of this exchange, the ILM members have formed an enduring coalition that has launched various projects to address xenophobia and protect religious minorities. All right, let's see. I've heard this term. Let's see what it officially means. Intense or irrational dislike or fear of people from other countries. All right. Islamophobia in the U.S. To address the rising trend of religious intolerance at home and build on the establishment of an interfaith leadership network comprised of Pakistani and American faith leaders, ICRD held a conference to combat Islamophobia. In 2015, from this event, 40 prominent U.S. evangelical pastors emerged with a greater understanding of the prejudices faced by American Muslims and an enhanced, we know Rick Warner is a part of that, an enhanced commitment to act to promote tolerance and respect for all religious minorities. These include strategies for countering anti-Muslim sentiment, which are now being implemented in a number of communities. These participants' presentations on various aspects of Islamophobia were published in special editions of the Dialogue Institute's Journal of Ecumenical Studies and Fuller. Okay. Let's Google that. Journal of Ecumenical Studies. Wow, look at this, Bride. Wow. I'm telling you, this is why it's going to take me a month to get through all this. There is so much. Editors, let's see here. All right, let's see if we can find out. The Discover Dialogue. Now, if we can find the impact stories. Find out about the. Where is it written? Dialogue resources, overview, principles, online dialogue course. Oh, wow, they teach you that, huh? Here's their partners. Let's see here. Fox School of Business at Temple University, Interfaith Center of Greater Philadelphia, Contemporary Education, Peace Day, American Jewish Committee, Islamic Congress, Interfaith Youth Corps, International Center for Religion and Diplomacy. Journal. Staff Board of Subscribe. Ecumenical Press. The Ecumenical Press publishes books in the field of ecumenical and interreligious dialogue. They have their own press. So this thing is huge, Bride. It is huge. Okay, so let's go back over here. And Fuller Seminary's Interfaith Evangelical Dialogue. All right, let's click and check out that one. voices of interfaith dialogue. It is our hope that evangelicals will soon come to see these two obligations, mission and interfaith engagement, not as mutually exclusive, but rather as an opportunity to embody a holistic witness. That's another word, remember, holistic, that bridges religious divides for the sake of loving our religious neighbors ourselves through conversation, cooperation, and proclamation. Okay, they are doing that today. Voices on Changing Missiology. Bride, remember I told you that is the Pope's word for wanting to evangelize the world is called missiology. It's a 670-page document. All right, let's see. The theological task, as we have come to know in the West, is facing a transformation of its cartography and of its historical archives. The territory, texture, and phenomena of Christian practice are shifting to include a theological self-representation coming out of decolonial theological categories that neither necessarily abandon nor depend on Western culture, but instead seek autonomy of thought. Wow. So basically, abandoning the Western ideological processes, which is the way that we think over here, they're trying to open it up to a more global view. Wow, okay, let's see. There is so much, Bride, my goodness. Okay, well, let me save this website so I can have it saved. Okay, let's get off this and go back over here. ICRD is currently exploring opportunities to launch the next stage of this program that will integrate effective methods for countering religious hostility into the training of clergy at seminaries and universities in the United States. Wow, they're really wanting to hit the educational part, huh? All right, let's see. I just clicked on the United States. I'm clicking, Brad. Hold on. Promoting sustained collaborative partnerships between otherwise disparate stakeholders is key to countering extremism and breaking cycles of violence. We just read that. Okay. So, let's see what programs they have. They have a bunch. Okay, who we are, mission and staff publications. They're really into media, you know, printing. Okay, here we go. Here's the next one, and then we'll be done. Interfaith Youth Corps. Working on the youth, for sure. Chicago Interfaith Leadership Institute is the largest gathering of students and educators with a vision for interfaith cooperation in America. Each year, hundreds of people who care about the future of religiously diverse society converge in Chicago to learn, train, share, and get inspired to bring the movement for interfaith cooperation back to the campuses and communities. It's a 3-day gathering and training for undergraduates and educators who want to create positive, meaningful connections between people of different faiths, traditions, and worldviews. Oh, man, look at this. This shows you Holiday Inn Plaza in Chicago. Foundations of Interfaith Leadership, Storytelling, Interfaith Cooperation, Tackling Challenging Conversations, Interfaith Beyond Graduation, Educator Track, Leadership, Interfaith Workshops, Strategic Planning. They are basically training an army. Leadership Institute, Regional Leadership Gatherings, Online Learning, Resource and Grants. Wow. Okay, Bride, well, I think we finished it for this video. We definitely now have a broader understanding because we have researched so much now of these groups that are coming together that we see this is so big and global. We have got to be wise in this hour and ask the Holy Spirit for discernment. Amen. Look at this one. American University in Washington, D.C. International Peace and Conflict Resolution. Why peace? Why now? Humanity's needs are predicated on peace. Evidence shows that peaceful means of change are more effective and sustainable than violence. We also know that peacemaking is no longer the exclusive province of governments. Communities and citizens are now actively engaged in peacemaking. It stands on the leading edge of innovative research and practice in conflict mitigation and peace building. Our faculty and students often work together on projects that make a difference in the lives of vulnerable people. All right, so I'm checking out their website. When should I apply and when are the application deadlines? Where will a degree in international peace and conflict resolution take me? Wow. Degree options. Let's check this out. Flexibility for your degree. Violent conflict. So it's a socialism degree, basically. Degree options. You can get an MA. Concentrations. Culture, Identity, and Peace. International Negotiation, Peace Building, Reconciliation, and Justice. Experiential learning. Wow. Okay, it's a school dedicated to this cause, basically. All right, Bride. Well, God bless you, and I will see you on the next edition of the Clarion Call.